Blog Talk Radio.
Radio.
Everybody, Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day, drive-through HR. It is a good day to be talking HR with the folks that actually have got something to say. So let's get right to it. Bob, welcome to drive-through HR.
Thank you, Brian. Happy to be on board. Looking forward to it.
Well, good. So if you would, let's kick it off. Have you introduce yourself to our listeners, and we'll jump into our questions.
Sure. My name's Bob Farina. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of a company called JK Group. JK is the largest provider of kind of software and outsourced services to support corporate philanthropy programs, everything from kind of volunteerism to matching gift programs to various other employee engagement tools. So I'm interested in talking a little bit about, you know, what we do internally from an HR perspective at JK, and then also what we've seen our clients do relative to employee engagement and talent acquisition and retention in a little bit of a different twist, if you will, than the kind of the normal processes that most people think of.
Well, great. Let's actually kick it off. Why don't you explain a little bit your take on what kind of corporate social responsibility is?
Sure. And it's kind of interesting. I came from outside of the corporate social responsibility world. I've had 30 years kind of background in software and outsourcing. So this has been an interesting process and education on this market over the last couple of years for me as well in the role of JK. But so corporate social responsibility or corporate philanthropy has a couple of different attributes to it. You know, one is, you know, how does an organization express its values and express its differentiation to the market, whether it be its brand or its differentiation as a place to work to its employees, through manifesting, you know, certain programs that show its commitment to the greater good, if you will. And then, you know, kind of the blanket term is corporate social responsibility. Most public companies, when they have their public financial statements and so forth, actually have a scorecard, something called a corporate social responsibility or CSR scorecard, which encompasses a lot of different things. It could be green initiatives and carbon footprints and so forth. But a big part of that is around what we'd call corporate philanthropy, which is, you know, how do I engage my employee population and my corporation to give back to the communities that I serve, to be able to further the brand and the objectives of the company in a meaningful way, and do that through either straight-out donations of various kinds. You know, corporate philanthropy goes everywhere from having matching gift programs, to employee giving campaigns, to volunteer activities, you know, to special fundraising events, and there's a whole wide gamut of different things that people do to help support causes that they're really passionate about or their local communities and so forth. So corporate social responsibility kind of goes across all of those things, and the reason most companies get engaged with that, and one of the reasons why this is probably a good topic for our audience today, is there's really two reasons. You know, one is more of a marketing reason, which is, you know, we want our brand as a corporation to be expressed in a way that people can really identify with it as someone who is, or an organization that has certain responsibilities to the community, that as a brand, you know, we're furthering that activity through engagement and so forth. And so it's a very important aspect of kind of overall brand development and marketing of the company themselves. And then the other piece of it, which is actually typically more important, if you will, is around employee engagement. How do I attract the best talent? How do I keep them? How do I engage them? You know, and there's lots of studies around, you know, what's the difference in productivity and market value if you have an employee workforce that expresses themselves as being very engaged and in alignment with a company's goals versus those that are kind of just there to get a job. And, you know, certainly when you're talking about, you know, millennials, you know, kind of the under 30-year-old employee, you know, the weight of social values of their employer is much, much higher on their list in terms of how they align their own values and the kind of businesses they want to work with. So the investments in these kind of programs are not just kind of do-goody kind of things. They really have a real ROI from a brand and marketing perspective, and even more importantly, from a talent acquisition and retention perspective.
Well, and that's a thank you very much for kind of just putting some framework around CSR, which I'm a huge proponent of, huge fan of, advocate for. And so let's just, I guess, talk engagement to start with. So do you have some numbers? Do you have anything you can share with, you know, for our audience specifically on if you do have it or don't have it, how it helps you drive engagement? Percentage-wise?
Sure. I mean, there's a number of different organizations, both the nonprofit organizations and other third parties that try to assess some of those things. You know, for starters, even though the economy has kind of been up and down, one of the organizations that does this kind of research that with major companies has found that, you know, over the last several years, about 59% of companies have increased their overall corporate giving, which means how much the company itself participates, either supporting employee efforts or their own, and that in about 38% of the companies surveyed, their increases were 25% or more. And in the top 240 companies that participated in those surveys in 2012 contributed over $20 billion. So there's some serious money being engaged in there. And you know, what's interesting is that the growth trend, when we talk about employee engagement and brand and recognition, you know, where are the growth trends in different forms of corporate philanthropy? And what we're finding is that there's a lot of growth in the non-cash activities. You know, people want to be more hands-on with the causes they care about. So volunteerism is growing fairly dramatically. Pro bono efforts, you know, around professional endeavors is growing fairly dramatically. Skills-based volunteering. So, you know, that is far outstripping, you know, a more traditional matching gift or donation process, although those are still very large components of the system. When we talk about growth activities, things that you can do to get employees more directly involved are really doing much better. And I'll give you an example of why. You know, in a traditional matching gift program where you would say as an employer, you know, we're going to you can donate to whoever you'd like to, Brian, and we'll match, oh, I don't know, 50 cents on the dollar up to, pick a number, $2,000, $5,000, depending on your organization. And under that scenario, you as an individual employee are happy because the company is supporting a cause you care about. Your own donation is being amplified by the company's money, if you will, and a particular charity is happy about it. If you take that same kind of investment and say, you know what, Brian, rather than using this purely for matching gift, let's talk about a team volunteer activity. And why don't you get 10 of your coworkers to go do something local in the community? We're going to renovate a house as a shelter, or we're going to for abused families or whatever. Get 10 of your coworkers, put on our T-shirts, go out and do the work, get on the local news, and we'll contribute those same $2,000 or $5,000 towards building materials and support for that effort. You know, what have I done now? What I've done is that for essentially the same money, instead of having one employee really engaged and feeling good about the activity, maybe I now have 10. I've gotten my brand out in the market a little bit more clearly because of the amplification effect of multiple people involved, you know, having visual representations like wearing your T-shirts and those kind of things. So it's pretty easy to understand from an ROI perspective and an employee engagement perspective, those kinds of activities that kind of amplify the efforts of the individuals are really growing much more rapidly than a pure kind of one-on-one donation scenario.
So just to kind of go a little bit deeper on the talent acquisition side real quick, so
yep.
What are your thoughts on the fact that, okay, only Gen Y really get really stirred up and passionate about a good CSR efforts within a company, and it really doesn't affect Gen X and older, you know, so it's really not that big a deal, unless you're recruiting a lot from the millennial pool.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's not a big deal for older constituencies. I think it's a matter of proportion and emphasis, right? I mean, there a lot of these corporate donation and corporate matching programs, United Way campaigns, they've been around a long, long time, right? 30, 40 years. So in many corporations, the spirit of contribution and whether it be on an individual basis or a corporate basis is very ingrained in the culture. So I don't want to de-emphasize the importance of that, certainly to older workers, and it is something that people look at. My point earlier was more of a matter of emphasis, whereas, you know, an older worker, such as myself, you know, might say, well, that's, you know, something that I really like that this company does, and it helps me align my values, which is really much more around employee engagement, which we'll talk about in just a second, more statistics around that. You know, a younger audience, you know, certainly that under 30-ish kind of age group will actually differentiate selecting a job based on it. And I think it's a matter of emphasis more than anything else in terms of how those things happen. And to give you a couple of examples on, you know, kind of employee engagement, just on a broad basis, I'm sure your audience knows these numbers well. You know, in 2012, there was a survey done by MSW Research and Dale Carnegie that out of about 1,500 employees, a relatively small sample size, you know, how many felt that they were fully engaged with their employers, and engagement really meant, you know, an alignment of values, understanding of purpose, how my efforts actually contribute to the overall company goals. It's certainly more than CSR. You know, in their estimate, less than 30% were fully engaged. Aon Hewitt did a follow-up study in 2013 that was a little more optimistic, but it still indicated that only, you know, about 60% of the workforce would consider themselves engaged and aligned with company values, and that the company was doing things that they really felt strongly about in terms of supporting those values. And the differences in productivity between an employee that feels that they're highly engaged versus not is really very important. I mean, one of the things that was identified through a Career Builder study is that, you know, if a company's brand is in alignment with, you know, more community service and social responsibility objectives, you know, you tended to have to pay less for the top talent than somebody who perhaps does not have that perception in the market, or your brand is not aligned with certain social values. So there's real hard dollars when it comes down to that. And when we talk about, you know, what percentage of the workforce you'd really be tapping into, you know, certainly this year, I think the estimates are about 36% of the entrants into the market, you know, fall into that age bracket of the millennials. So you're talking about over a third of certainly the new workforce, and I think it's the aggregate workforce worldwide, is in that age group. So as in, particularly in developed countries, you know, this becomes more and more important. And those values don't change over age, right? So 30 now and it's important to me. 10 years from now, the odds are it's going to be just as important to me. So you're really setting up your engagement program for recruiting of that cohort, if you will, now, but also establishing the brand in the future for how you attract and keep that talent long term.
So how does, and we'll kind of get back to kind of just giving some groundwork for how a small company versus a large company maybe starts a CSR program.
Yep.
Just thinking of it. I want to save that a little bit here. Social media. How has social media applications changed the landscape of CSR, if they have at all?
Oh, that's a great question. And it's there's a couple different answers to it. When you get into very individual efforts, or efforts that are less, money-changing hands at the corporate level, social media has become a huge force, right? It's an amplification force. So when you're talking about volunteering efforts or an individual fundraiser, you know, I'm going to go out and raise money for my local food shelter. I want my friends to participate, or as a volunteer event. You know, social media is a great amplification tool. Obviously, you bring a lot more people in engagement. And to the degree that a corporation or organization has their name associated with that, obviously their activities get amplified hugely. And we've seen a tremendous uptick and a value proposition around various forms of social media when it comes to those personal engagement events. So it's really where, you know, an individual is kind of spearheading things and be able to draw in their network or their network of friends and expand it out around a volunteer event or a personal fundraiser. It's interesting at a corporate level, I think people are conflicted a little bit with social media. You know, when you're talking about money changing hands and, you know, donation processes and corporate funds, certainly larger companies are still a little hesitant to open up the doors, if you will, outside their firewalls and allow someone who is like, I just donated $1,000 to the local charity. Hey, I want to blast that out to the world and let everybody know and hopefully get other people to amplify it. Obviously, you can do that at home anyway, but from a corporate perspective, doing that through their corporate networks with their security policies and so forth, there's been a fair amount of reluctance around allowing that kind of activity, particularly where corporate money is involved. And, you know, it's understandable. There's some due diligence that needs to go into from both a financial risk and a reputational risk. Even if there's not a lot of money, does the corporation want their name associated with a particular endeavor? And if you have a large employee population, that's sometimes hard to figure out. You know, they tend to be on the side of caution. But I would say, you know, that will change over time, and, you know, the tide is certainly turned, and there's no going back. But I would say that at an individual level and a volunteer level and so forth, it's done a wonderful job of amplifying things. And but at the corporate level, there's still some reluctance where there's corporate monies involved. So it's an interesting dichotomy from that standpoint. However, on the other side, the larger companies in particular are doing things to support those efforts without kind of directly being having their name into it. I mean, between 2007 and 2013, you know, there was a tremendous growth, for example, of large companies, larger companies, offering paid time off for volunteer efforts. You know, something like half the companies in 2007 said that they would offer that kind of benefit. I want to go volunteer at the soup kitchen on Friday. Can I be paid for it? You know, in 2013, something like 70% of the companies surveyed had that kind of benefit, whether it be formal or informal. So even though, you know, it may, even those that don't have real formal programs, they're doing things to support, you know, individual activities like that. And to your point about smaller companies, these programs don't need to cost a lot of money. I mean, a lot of smaller companies get started with just that level of engagement. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, we've all experienced it, particularly any of us who've ever worked even all the way down to the startup level or small business level. You want to do things around team building activities, especially if you're in the kind of business that is very involved in a local community or a state, you know, where you go out and you do the volunteer efforts and you get the whole team together to do that. It's team building, it's recognition in the community and so forth. Those efforts don't take much more money at all. It's all around time and organizing it, maybe a couple small incentives, maybe a small donation to a recipient organization. But there are a lot of benefits around doing that. You know, your employees feel good about it. You know, you can almost look at it as a team-building exercise. You're getting visibility, whether it be in a community or a particular marketplace. And, of course, you're doing good that people feel good about. So it's not a situation where, you know, even though large companies can spend an awful lot of money on this, you know, a small company really wants to demonstrate their values in this way and get their employees engaged. It's not doesn't need to be a big dollar proposition to be able to do that.
And that's a great point, is everybody started somewhere with some program, right? Be it just a
yep.
informal or formal. It just doesn't matter. Just getting started is probably the biggest hurdle.
That's absolutely true. And, you get into, you don't need a lot of systems and this and thing, those kind of things. You know, you can start, you know, with a spreadsheet and a couple people, depending on the size of your organization. You know, you can grow into them over time. You know, there are various tools to help you with both, you know, paid and unpaid tools to help you find organizations in your area. There's lots of databases to go research if you're not sure, you know, what kind of organization do I want to work with? Do I want something that's a little larger scale? Do I want one that is specific to my industry, perhaps? There's lots of databases that help you evaluate charities if you're not familiar with them and how well they rate and how well they fit your particular desire. So there's lots of ways to get engaged. It just takes a little bit of time, and then you grow it from there, you know, and you see how that goes, and you see what resonates with your employees. The one important part of all this is that if you really want to have the benefit of employee engagement, and some of the benefits we talked about in productivity, there's another study just as a side I forgot about, which is, you know, even return on investment, you know, a study that was done a while ago in 2010 tried to show a correlation between, you know, stock market values and measurements of employee engagement, you know, and those that were showing 65% or greater levels of corporate engagement by their own employees' evaluation. I feel aligned with the company's goals. I feel the company shares my values and so forth. You know, those organizations showed a 22% higher return on shareholder value than those that had lower levels of engagement, which actually showed losses, minus 28%. So there's a lot of reasons for doing these things and getting into it. But the one that, when you're constructing these programs, the one element that is consistent that makes the biggest impact is allowing the employees the choice to participate in causes they really feel passionate about, right? Each of us has some particular love or some particular community issue that they want to deal with, whether it be, you know, economic, whether it be stray dogs or battered children. I mean, we all have something that we're passionate about, and to the degree that the organizations are seen as supporting, to some degree, those individuals' choices, as opposed to mandating, you know, we're only going to do this, you know, and we're only going to give money to this particular charity in this particular way, I mean, that's appreciated, but it doesn't get you nearly the mileage of saying, hey, you know what, tell us what you're interested in, these are ways we can support it, these are ways we will work together, and that's just like orders of magnitude difference in terms of the way employees feel about it and the impact that has, the positive impact it has on your business for really a relatively low investment.
Okay, I've got the big question right now. We need your help. The community, HR community, needs your help. I've got 21 employees. How do I even start beginning to evaluate and start a program?
21 employees. Okay. Well, I mean, I think the first thing I would do is a quick survey. And if you have 21 employees, and that. I've been involved with small businesses myself and startups. You've kind of just got to walk around the floor and ask, which is even a better way of getting engaged, right? But it's, part of our organization's values is that we want to be giving back to the community and we want to make sure that we are making an impact on others. We're doing something that's beneficial to society as well as, of course, having a bottom line and a return for investors and taking care of our other constituencies, which is the purpose of every corporation. So, you know, what would be important to you? What are the things that you are important, that are important to you? What kind of themes would be important to you? Obviously, if your company already has some level of alignment, if you're in the healthcare industry, it makes a lot of sense to try to focus on what are healthcare initiatives or healthcare related nonprofit organizations, generally locally, that we could work with to further their causes. You know, if you are an engineering company, there's been lots of initiatives now around science, technology, and engineering and math, you know, education and training. Is there something we can do to help foster those objectives? So I would ask my employees, what are the things I'm passionate about? I would then try to layer that on to what are the things that make sense for the industry I'm in? And I would start off by finding a local nonprofit that fits, you know, kind of those two broad patterns and start a volunteer activity. Cost you a few T-shirts and an organization, and maybe if you do it on a weekend, great. If you can't, maybe take an afternoon off, but I that's the way I would start it.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's some great starting points. We got a lot of small to very large global represented in our audience. So probably my last big question for you is describe innovation in your space. What does that look like, feel like, smell like that for you?
Yeah, and it's different to your point about your audience. I mean, it's different based on kind of the size, scale, and problem set that the organizations are trying to solve. So at the larger end of the scale, large corporations, you know, one of the clear trends that they're solving for and that, you know, we are very actively engaged in trying to help them with is how do I have these kind of programs and a return on investment and take into account the fact that I have a global workforce, I have a global client base, right? How do I allow flexibility in that while still being able to do things like make sure I'm in compliance with international law and money transmission laws and anti-money laundering laws, as well as making sure that I'm giving to the organizations locally on the ground in perhaps a foreign country that I may not be as familiar with, and that are really important to my local employees, right? So it's the balancing act between having a distributed kind of local effort with kind of centralized oversight on having a truly global international program. There's a lot of growth in that area for the large corporations and obviously some complex problems to solve just from an administering a program, fairness and compliance. So that's at the very large end of the spectrum. So there's a lot of innovation going on there in terms of finding those charities, making sure they're measured correctly, being fair and balanced in the way that you support these programs and so forth. For smaller organizations, it really goes back to your earlier question around social media, is how do I, you know, amplify my efforts? If I'm a 20-person company, I'm getting started, I've identified, you know, a local program, I'm an engineering consulting firm, I found a local program that really tries to get middle school children, particularly disadvantaged middle school children, to take up the sciences in their studies. How can we help tutor them? How can we do that? Perhaps that's what I want to help with. I'm going to have a volunteer effort around that. Now, how can I amplify that, right? And the whole social media outreach process has really been both innovative, and it's really interesting how that's morphing over time, right? It's come from, you know, invite my friends to challenge grants. It's not uncommon now. You know, sometimes there are some companies that have it formally, but a lot of it informally, saying, I as an individual, I'm going to give $100 to this in addition to donating my time or having this volunteer project. You know, all my friends, you know, I'll match your contributions up to $500. You know, how much, you know, are you willing to raise for this, or how much are you willing to participate? So now it becomes a little bit of a competition and a little bit of engaging your own network in a very tangible way to help a cause. So we're seeing a lot of innovation with smaller organizations around supporting those kind of efforts. Again, not a lot of dollars. It's just, you know, making sure your employees are excited about what you're doing with them and for them in the community.
Bob, we got about 3 minutes left. Time goes fast when we're having great conversations. So I'd like to hear just a little bit about specifically your company, because I know you've been in the space a long time. You guys are doing some interesting things. There's a lot of good companies out there, but I know you guys are one of the biggest. So just wrap us up with just a little snippet about you guys.
I appreciate it. Always happy to do a commercial, Brian. So JK Group, we're headquartered in Plainsboro, New Jersey, which is outside of Princeton, New Jersey, for those who might be familiar with the area. The company has actually been in business for well over 20 years. We are the largest provider of, I'd characterize it as, software and outsourced services to the corporate philanthropic community. We have, which means we have everything from software to help you manage volunteer programs. We do payment processing to make sure donations get into the hands of the right people, and we're following all the laws. We have a whole compliance group that, you know, helps assess and evaluate charitable organizations and those kind of activities. So a pretty broad gamut. You know, we have clients that are small and large, you know, running from, you know, under 100 employees up to several hundred thousand employees in global. So it's a very interesting market, and I really love about it is that our clients are really very, very passionate about what they do. It's not a dry kind of, this is part of my job. It's, you know, I really believe in the mission. I want to make sure that, you know, whatever money we have allocated gets in the hands of the most, the people who can use it the most. And we really want our employees to be doing things that they think are really important and how we give that back. So it's great to see that level of kind of commitment and passion to taking something and really making sure that it's molded so it's a good ROI for the corporation, it's good for the employees, and that the impact gets amplified. So it's an interesting business.
Well, fantastic. That's a great conversation. Like I said, CSR is a huge passion of mine. Over the last few years, I'm really involved with No Kid Hungry, Share Our Strength, and so we do a lot with them, and so all over the place. So great conversation, Bob. Where can people connect with you if they have some follow-up questions or thoughts?
Sure. The easiest thing is I'll give you my email address, which is a little different. It's rfarina, R-F-A-R-I-N-A, at jk-group.com. And happy to answer any questions, or if I can be helpful in any way, I'm happy to correspond with people who are interested.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for spending lunch with us. Great information. Like I said, I love the conversation. That's some good tips to get people started on something that does make a difference, folks. So, okay, well, guess what? We're going to roll on out. We will talk to you all tomorrow.
in a German bill with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulders. She probably